Good morning, volume. It is a joy to be here. Can I just tell you that Sarah and I, when we come into Detroit, we still consider it coming home. And it is good to be here, and it is good to be among family and friends. So thank you for inviting us. Thank you for letting us be here, and I appreciate the opportunity to speak. Does anybody know what day yesterday was? Thursday? Saturday? What? Yesterday. I hear a lot of mumbling. Shout it out. Saturday. More. It was Saturday. Not the answer I'm looking for. Yom Kippur. Very good. Thank you. What's Yom Kippur? Day of Atonement. That's right. I'm sure somebody in this room has an app on their iPhone that tells them when all the Jewish holidays are. Raise your hand. Aha! There was one. Good. Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. Yesterday was the 10th day of the month of Tishri in the Jewish calendar. Why do we care? There were seven holidays in the Jewish calendar, and the Day of Atonement was the High Holy Day. This was the day that the high priest went in to sacrifice, he went into the Holy of Holies to sacrifice for the sins of the entire nation. This was the most holy day of the entire year and the entire calendar. When God gave the Israelites their religious calendar, he was giving them, he was teaching them about himself, but he was also giving them a schedule by which to remember the Lord. And so their entire year was marked by different events and different feasts and fasts and holidays. And so Yom Kippur was the high holy day. So I want to talk to you this morning about another type of remembrance, another type of date that is important in our lives. And it's the concept of mile markers and milestones. And we've heard this morning about camp experiences, about young people going to camp and having an opportunity to learn, to grow, to make decisions for Christ, to grow in their relationships with others. And those milestones are very important in our Christian growth. I know personally, growing up at Bear Lake Bible Camp, I had many dates and times and events that I could look back to and say, this was a turning point in my life. This was a important time that I can look back to and say, that's when it happened. And the entire concept of a milestone comes from the Roman mile marker on the Roman roads. We all know that the Roman Empire subdued the known world partly through the roads that the empire built, partly for the citizenry, but mostly for the army, so that the Roman army could march from place to place to place to place and deal with any problems that came up in the empire. And on the Roman roads were mile markers, and they actually used odometers to mark them. And these were obelisks, stone obelisks. They would have the markings of the emperor or the towns that they were in between, and they were symbols so that you always knew where you were and how far you had come. And so, you know, we say milestone today without even thinking about it. I have a daughter that, you know, just began to walk and is working on speaking and hopefully will someday be potty trained. And we look at those as milestones. And the entire concept comes from this Roman mile marker. In the Old Testament, God was very careful to make sure that the Israelites understood where they had come from. When God led the Israelite army across the Jordan River, into, not even just the army, but the entire host of Israelites, after the 40 years of wandering, when they finally entered the promised land, what did he ask them to do after he stopped up the waters of the Jordan so that they could cross on dry land? What did God tell? Pick up 12 stones, one for every tribe. Pick them up out of the bottom of the river and carry them out. And, you know, I can't pick up a stone that's a whole lot bigger than this. I imagine that they probably had some timbers and some rock sleds, and they got eight guys on each of these things, and they hauled out the biggest stones that they could muster, and they stacked them as tall as they could, 12 stones. And why? Why did God say to do this? So that they would remember. When your children see this pile of rocks, when your children see these stones, they can ask and say, why is that there? And you can tell them, that's the day that the Lord brought us across the Jordan on dry land. And so God understood, he understands who we are and our need for these types of symbols and milestones. What about Jacob at Bethel? When Jacob was on his way to find a wife in the house of Laban, he had an encounter with God. He wrestled with God. And he set up, and when he woke up in the morning, he set up a pile of stones, especially the one that he had slept on, and he anointed it with oil, and he named this stone because this was a special place. We even sing one of our songs, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, speaks of the Ebenezer, the stone of remembrance that Samuel set up after a battle with the Philistines. And he named it Ebenezer, which means stone of remembrance. And he said, this far the Lord has come. We have come this far with the Lord's help. And the whole purpose was as a way to remember what had happened. The milestones that we see in our campers, in our young people, are very important. And we can look back in our own lives to important times, important decisions. Personally, I was saved at a young age, but I can remember being at Bear Lake, which, by the way, was the only camp I ever went to, not because I'm biased, it just worked out that way. And so my young experiences are of Bear Lake. And as a 12-year-old, I can remember, after a chapel service, walking in the dark with Wayne Baumgars, who was Benjamin's father, who was the director that week, and rededicating my life to the Lord. And in a sense, in those moments, you drive a stake in the ground and you set a mark. And I have always been able to look back to that date and say, I know that this is a date when God got a hold of me and he woke me up and I got serious about my faith. And many people meet Christ at camps, and it is a blessed thing. And so the ministry of camps is vital and important, but it's not the only ministry. It's not the end-all and be-all. Camps excel as a place of quiet retreat. Why is camping so important? Why is it so effective? Because camp is not your home. Camps are a quiet place away to get out of the rat race, to get out of the normal, to get out of the day-to-day. And it's, you know, I live at Bear Lake now. I work maintenance at Bear Lake. And so it is my day-to-day. And so if I want a quiet place of retreat, I need to go someplace else to get away. And all of us, no matter how old, all of us need time to get away from the day-to-day. Yes, we should all be getting up early in the quiet of the morning to read our Bibles and to pray in that quiet time in the morning. I don't call it quiet time for nothing. You get up before the day gets busy, before the pressures come on. But sometimes, you know, a place of retreat is needed. And it doesn't have to be camp. You know, anybody who's ever traveled or I'm biased because I love the outdoors. And so anybody who is into camping or hiking, this is why people talk about having a spiritual experience on a mountaintop, because your perspective is totally different. When you go away to a place of retreat, the world that you are normally immersed in falls away. And one of the biggest problems with our American society and our modern society is we are so busy and our lives are just filled up with activities and stuff. And I'm not even saying that those things in and of themselves are bad, but when we fill our lives up with stuff and we fill our lives up with noise and there's never a moment of quiet, when will we ever hear that still small voice of God? And that's why camps excel in as a place of retreat. And that's why I can look back at my life and the times when I have heard God speak to me are times when I got away, when I just went away to a quiet place and pray. And what do we see in the New Testament? What do we see Jesus doing? Again and again, he went away to a quiet place to pray. He rose early and went away to a quiet place to pray. He went alone. He rose early, went away to a lonely place. And Christ understood the importance of getting away because his ministry, his work was with people. But his relationship was with his Father. And he understood the need to get away. And I'm not saying that it has to be camp, but we all ought to look for those opportunities. Can I get away for an afternoon? Can I go read my Bible in the park? Can I shut off the radio? Can I drive in silence? Those of you with a commute, can you drive in silence? It's a challenge, and it's a worthwhile endeavor. When was the last time that you stole away to a quiet place? When was the last time that you set aside an afternoon or a weekend? You know, Dunning Park Women's Retreat's coming up, and I've seen it on the calendar. These are, great opportunities to get away. But even within that, within a retreat weekend like that, you can still fill all of your time with busyness, with activities. Can you carve out time to be alone with the Lord? When was the last time that you had an experience with the Lord that was worth driving a stake in the ground, building a rock pile, and making a stone of remembrance, making a milestone? When was the last time that the Lord spoke to you in such a way that it changed the course of your life? And I'm not saying that it radically changed the course of your life, because isn't our life of sanctification that the Holy Spirit seeks to make us like Christ? Isn't every day of our lives a course correction, a change of direction, a turning from sin to Christ. Isn't that what repenting is? 180-degree turn away from sin and towards Christ. When was the last time you had an experience that was worth driving a stake in the ground or building an Ebenezer, a stone of remembrance? We ought to be looking for those opportunities. We ought to be stealing away and looking for a quiet place. Sometimes the stone or the mile marker can be a line in the sand. Sometimes when God speaks to us, he speaks to us about the decisions that we're making or that we've made, or the road we're on, the course that we've taken. And sometimes in those quiet moments, God says to us, you need to change that. And so sometimes the mile marker can be a line in the sand where an individual Christian, with the help of the Lord Jesus Christ, says, this far and no further. I will not submit to that sin anymore. And that can be your mile marker. That can be your stone of remembrance when the Lord brings it to your attention, that thing that he has been working on you, that he wants to bring under the lordship of Jesus Christ. He wants to submit all of our lives under his lordship. And so sometimes that line in the sand, that time when you say, no more, no more, that can be your stone of remembrance. So we're going to have Ben and the guys come back up, and we're going to close with a song. I will close in prayer. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we just thank you for your goodness. It is good to gather in your name. Lord, we thank you for the joy that you bring when you indwell our hearts. We thank you for the family that you have adopted us into. Lord, we just thank you that you have promised that we will be like you, that we will spend eternity with you. And Lord Jesus, we just thank you that you understand who we are and what we are, and that you have given us everything we need for life and godliness. We just thank you, Lord, that you understand our need for seasonal reminders, that you have given us the seasons and the calendar of the years, the oscillation back and forth, so that we can better understand who you are. Lord, we just thank you for the milestones that you give us, for the events in our lives, for the way that you speak to us, for the way that you show yourself, that you reveal yourself to us, Lord. We just thank you that you have not left us alone, but that you have shown us what it means to be alive. And so, Lord, we just pray for your strength, and we pray, Lord, that we would consider each one of us how we can best make decisions that come under the headship and the lordship of you, our Savior, Jesus Christ, how we can listen for your still small voice, and how we can come better to know you, Lord. We just pray your blessing on this body. We just pray your blessing that each one of us as believers, as carriers of your Spirit, as image bearers of your person, that we would be Christ to one another, and that we would show Christ's love to one another, and that by our love for one another, the whole world wouldn't know that we are yours. And so, Lord, we just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.